Mark Zuckerberg and Tim Cook lead two of the most powerful companies in the world. And Apple and Facebook have mostly coexisted over the years. Apple builds a lot of phones. Facebook builds social apps that people use a lot on those phones. But recently, they haven't been getting along. There's been a lot of ink spilled on this topic lately. Apple says that Facebook's business model, built on targeted advertising, is invasive. Facebook says, hey, we're just offering free services over here, and you, Mr. Tim Apple, have an anti-competitive app store, and all your privacy pearl-clutching is just about your own profits. Lost in all this debate, however, has been the Apple-Facebook battle brewing inside of the company's hardware labs. Who's going to control the future operating systems after smartphones? That's where Cook and Zuckerberg have a lot at stake. On this week's episode of the 411, we go inside the information's exclusive reporting about future hardware products that these companies are building. The broader question here is, what's the future of consumer hardware, especially augmented, mixed, and virtual reality? Let's go to my conversation with Alex and Wayne about the Facebook Watch and Apple's mixed reality headset. All right, Alex and Wayne, you guys both had scoops in recent weeks on what some of the tech giants are working on inside of their hardware labs. And let's first start with Facebook. You reported that Facebook is building a smartwatch that it hopes to sell starting next year. Why are they doing this? Why do we need Facebook on our wrists?
Yeah, it's not obvious, right? You wouldn't think that Facebook would be doing a smartwatch. But they've been looking at stuff on their wrist for a long time. And we reported in 2019 they were looking to buy Fitbit before Google came in and bought it. And that same year, they also bought this startup called Control Labs, which is making this armband that does brain reading technology. It's not really that, but it's a similar effect where you can move your hand around and, like, Minority Report style, it tracks you and can let you kind of gesturally interact with a computer interface. So they bought that company for about $1 billion. And ever since then, they've been kind of speeding up work on this watch that we reported on. And it's about health and messaging at first on the wrist, which are kind of the two key use cases of any smartwatch these days. But eventually they want this Control Labs technology to work on the wrist with future augmented reality smart glasses and potentially their Oculus virtual reality headsets that already exist.
I think one of the big issues is that Facebook doesn't want Apple and Google to control its destiny. I mean, most people interact with Facebook through apps from those platforms. And so the more hardware it makes with its own kind of software and marketplaces, I think is just gives it more control over its destiny.
Right. It's about controlling the future operating system, essentially.
Right.
They're starting out. So you're in your story, you say that Facebook is going to use an Android operating system for this device. Why are they doing that? Does Android have any particular clout in this area? And might Facebook build its own operating system?
Yeah. So Facebook is working on its own operating system specifically for the glasses. Operating systems are fairly nerdy. It's not something most people understand. I think when people think of operating systems, they probably think of iOS, you know, the iPhone interface, or like macOS, for example. And Apple owns those. They control those at the software layer. Facebook doesn't have anything like that. And Android can be open source. So when we say built on Android, it's not like Google is dictating the terms of how they build. And so Facebook, just like Wayne was saying, doesn't want to be beholden to any other companies. So it makes sense for them to invest in this area.
All right. Elephant in the room here. People don't really trust Facebook. Are they going to share health information with the company?
People still use Facebook, even though there's been so many privacy concerns. I mean, it's still growing. And so I think there is kind of this initial criticism about the watch, just like there has been with Facebook Portal, the tablet device that, you know, is always on and records your video and audio. My take, I think, you know, there is a market for this watch, and there will be enough people out there who, you know, want to use it to interact with their friends and maybe eventually, you know, interact with these glasses that Facebook is making.
Matt, I think probably the direction Facebook will go is more social, which is more their DNA, which is, you know, maybe you can use the watch to quickly, you know, talk to your trainer, or, you know, apps like Strava that lets you kind of see what your friends are doing and compare workouts and kind of hold each other accountable. I mean, there's a lot in the social world of health. They want to lean into partnerships. So imagine like Facebook integrating into your Peloton, and you can see what your friends are doing. I mean, there's a lot of compelling use cases that Facebook's actually pretty uniquely positioned to do.
Right. So that's kind of the near-term vision. Alex, you alluded to the kind of long-term vision here, which is much more almost science fiction related. You know, in your story, you say that these efforts tie back in part to Facebook's $1 billion purchase of this startup called Control Labs from a couple years ago. Alex, you retweeted Josh Wolf, who is a venture capitalist who was an investor in Control Labs, and he tweeted your story and said, quote, people will think this is an Apple copycat. It's not. It's much bigger. It's a move to the UX of the future. What did he mean by that? Is he just talking his own book, or is he onto something?
I mean, I think he is right to a degree. Facebook thinks that this is potentially the next way that we will interface with computers, gesturally and through BCI brain control interfaces. Yeah, they bought this startup, Control Labs, that was really far ahead on neuromotor technology, basically mapping nerve signals to muscle movements in the wrist and being able to kind of interpret the way you're moving your wrists and how that can, you know, be a hand in a virtual space, for example, that mimics your own hand. So when I say Minority Report, I mean, if anyone who's watched that movie, that's basically what it is. But working in the real world, and it's definitely not ready for prime time, but it's something that we will see probably, at a consumer level in the next few years. And if Facebook does nail this, if this is the way that input happens, you know, in this future where we have, you know, these high-tech glasses, I mean, that's a tremendous, asset that they own.
You say within a few years, you think this could be?
Yeah, there's Control Labs demos. You can see them on YouTube of this working. I mean, it's not perfect and it's kind of buggy, and there's like phantom thumb stuff where it can't always track all your fingers correctly, but it's definitely good. It's progressing quite quickly, and Facebook's investing a lot in it.
I think it would surprise people to know that it's going that well. Okay, for the watch specifically, why might this effort fail? What's the skeptical take? You know, some of the history isn't that kind to Facebook in regards to its hardware efforts. You know, the thing everybody always points to is the Facebook phone with HTC and stuff like that. But you know, where why might you think that we should be skeptical on this front?
Sure. I mean, I think that even the Apple Watch, even though it's, you know, the most successful smartwatch, it isn't a huge game changer for Apple as a company, right? It's not a must-have device like the iPhone is, let alone the iPad. With a Facebook smartwatch, you know, how much is it really going to move the needle for Facebook's revenue? I think that's really the big question, and we should be skeptical that it will move it anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think this is a key revenue driver at all. I think this is Facebook realizing they need to be on the wrist. They need to have more wearables. If they're trying to move to a post-phone world, they have to have these devices. And I don't think they're expecting to sell a lot of them, but I think they just kind of want to get out there and see how people react.
Yeah, I think that's such a tantalizing question. What happens in a post-phone world? And people have been talking about it for a while and building towards it. I also want to ask you sort of about your other scoop, which I think got even more attention. It spawned Clubhouse rooms and aggregated articles galore. And that's the fact that you both got your hands on images earlier this month of late prototypes of the quote-unquote mixed reality headset that Apple is building and could ship as early as next year. And we'll discuss some of the features in this headset that you wrote about, but first I was hoping you could help us take a step back. What is mixed reality? Define this term for us and what Apple is building here.
It's one of the most frustrating things about covering this space is there's all these terms that are similar but different and buzzy and don't make sense. Mixed reality, we went with that because that's how Apple refers to it internally. They may not choose to refer it, you know, that way publicly. I mean, traditionally you have virtual reality and you have augmented reality. The difference is that virtual fully immerses you in graphics, whereas augmented augments graphics onto the world around you. Mixed reality is, I guess, a combination of the two. I mean, this is at the high level, it's a very expensive Oculus like VR headset. It's like very immersive. But it has, high definition cameras that can do pass through video, which like feeds live video of the real world around you into your display and lets you then mix virtual with the feed of the real world. So it's kind of cheating. You're not actually like, it's not like a lightweight pair of glasses that have, you know, graphics, but most of your, you know, what you're seeing is light from the real world. It's video, but it gives a similar effect. So that's kind of where we were going with mixed reality.
And Tim Cook, I think in the past has been critical of virtual reality. Could you explain that criticism and why sort of they're doing this more, you know, sort of hybrid model?
So I think one of the big issues with virtual reality is it closes you off. When you put it on, you're kind of sealed off from the rest of the world. You can't multitask, you can't interact with other people really. I think that's something that's a barrier to VR becoming like a mass product. And so I think Apple for a long time has felt that, you know, it needs to be more of a social experience. There needs to be more interaction. And so it makes more sense to kind of, you know, overlay things onto the real world. And so you can kind of walk around with, you know, the device or, you know, continue talking to people and continue, you know, and being able to check your phone for notifications. You know, it's like people who watch a movie with subtitles, sometimes they don't want to do it because they can't do other things in the background, like check their phone.
Right. Totally. Well, I mean, we don't even, I'm curious, like, what are we even going to be using these things for? Like, okay, we're already talking about, we need to be able to multitask, but do we know yet what Apple thinks are the use cases for this device necessarily? Because virtual reality, I feel like, has been fairly well established that, you know, it's mostly a gaming device with some other use cases, you know, baked in there, training, education, etc. Does Apple know the use cases for this mixed reality headset yet?
Internally at Apple, they've talked about this similar to like a MacBook, whereas like the future AR glasses are more the iPhone. So more productivity, prosumer, the price point will reflect that. Entertainment, but not just like casual, like, you know, if you have some dough to spend and you care about a very premium experience, you know, you could think a lot of like education use cases, potential business use cases. Business is really where other AR headsets have had to pivot, like factory floor work and stuff like that, because the consumer market just isn't there yet. So I imagine they'll position it as like a prosumer productivity, you know, entertainment device.
And we should, you know, this is the moment in our podcast where we should sort of take a breath and give the disclaimer that, of course, with all work and hardware, these things can be scrapped, they can be changed, they can, you know, sort of morph in different ways inside of these companies' hardware labs. But, you know, both these efforts are fairly far along, it seems like. For this mixed reality headset, how important is this for Apple strategically? Do you have a sense of sort of whether this is as important potentially to the future of the company as like the Apple Car or like other kind of things that have been written about a lot?
I mean, I definitely think it could be just as important as the iPhone. And that's because the mixed reality headset is seen as a stepping stone to these glasses that they've kind of been discussing for a while. That they hope will, you know, replace, you know, a smartphone in maybe a decade. You know, what do you think, Alex?
I agree. I think it's a precursor. It's like a stepping stone, however you want to put it, towards the AR glasses future that Apple imagines and Facebook imagines. And it's definitely not going to move a ton of volume. You know, we reported their, you know, discussing selling like less than 300,000 in the first year, which is, you know, it's not a lot for Apple. But I do think it's on that continuum, and that's what makes it important. It's, you know, it's It's probably one of the biggest areas that is a, you know, future bet for Apple, next to probably the car stuff and, you know, the work they're doing to improve AI and Siri and stuff like that. I would put this as like top three kind of strategic initiatives at Apple.
The bigger picture, tying these two things together, the smartwatch that Facebook's making and the headset that Apple's making, is that this, you know, kind of emerging war between Facebook and Apple that's already playing out in privacy, and eventually it'll probably play out in hardware.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that that is sort of something, I feel like that is sort of the undercurrent between some of these, this war of words that's been happening between Mark Zuckerberg and Tim Cook. Mostly it's centered, and I think in the public debate, it's mostly centered around privacy and who controls the App Store, you know, and who profits from what business model. But it seems like what you're saying, Wayne, is in the backdrop, you have this whole, you know, kind of hardware focused fight as well.
The last 10 years has been about the war between Google and Apple over Android and smartphones. I feel like the next 10 years is going to be the war between, you know, Facebook and Apple over these kind of like lightweight devices like the watch and the heads and glasses.
All right, guys. Well, great work as always. Thanks for coming on the 411, and, you know, keep letting us know what's actually happening inside of the hardware sort of layers of these companies.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Corey.
That's our show this week. Thanks so much to Alex and Wayne for joining me on this episode, and thank you to Ariella Markowitz for producing the 411 as always. Have a great weekend, everybody.